Hello, you are listening to UCC 98.3 FM. I'm your host, Rosie, and for the next hour, we have La Vie en Rosé, joined by our very special guest, Miss Karen Ray. Welcome.
Hi, Rosie. Thanks for having me today.
Can you tell us a little bit about why you're here today?
So we in the UCC Players Staff Performance Group are putting on a musical medley coming up very soon. It's called Let's Go to the Movies, and it's a celebration of kind of the iconic musical moments and scenes from the golden era of Hollywood cinema. So a really particular strong focus on the movie interpretations of these famous songs and some of the scenes leading up to them. So it's on from the 11th to the 13th of April in the Aula Maxima. So just slightly over 2 weeks away.
Wonderful. So I am involved in this production this year. Can you tell us a bit about the UCC Players and how is this production kind of different to any one we've done before?
So, yes, I think you're opening the first song, if I'm correct.
Rose. Who knows?
So, yes, the UCC Players was set up by Dr. Finola Doyle O'Neill, and it's been running a really nice mix of successful plays over the past few years. So this one is scratching a very musical itch, and it's a bit of a different muscle stretch for the group. And I have to say, it's been an absolute joy working on this. What was, I suppose, intended to be a bit of a filler project has become something a bit bigger, I suppose, just by its nature. And also, I think, just by the enthusiasm that's gone into it. So it's everyone's enthusiasm is infectious, and they're all indulging my musical pushes as well. So yes, you've done a lot of plays before, and when Finola first started with the Players, she had a particular interest in historical dramatizations as well. So the group, and before I even joined, have done really interesting stuff. And so, you know, just goes to show, you never know. You can never expect what we're going to do next.
Exactly.
So this should be a really nice variety. There should be something for everyone in this. So even if you're not really into musical theatre, there's some nice kind of acting moments in it. And we've also kind of made room for music from Hollywood cinema that's not musicals. So, you know.
Something for everyone.
Something for everyone, yes. And it should be a very engaging evening. You know, it's we're hoping to set the Aula Maxima kind of up like a Hollywood film premiere. So not that you're too dressed for the occasion or anything. It'll be nice and relaxed. So
amazing. So here we have the Surrey with Fringe on top. Enjoy.
See the stars getting blurry when we ride back home in the Surrey, riding slowly home in the Surrey with the fringe on top. I can feel the day getting older, feel a sleepy head near my shoulder, nodding, drooping close to my shoulder till it falls kerplop. The sun is swimming on the rim of a hill. The moon is taking a header. And just as I'm thinking all the earth is still, a lark will wake up. Maybe got a dream worth a keeping. Oh, you team, and just keep a creeping at a slow clip clop. Don't you hurry with the Surrey with a free.
Now And that was a little flavour of the Surrey with the Fringe on Top from the musical Oklahoma. So these tracks are not exactly from our upcoming production. We're not giving too much away. But they are, as you say, a flavour of your musical interests and your taste yourself. And we are going to be doing a giveaway over on the Instagram. So we can follow my Levy on Rosie Instagram, which is Levy on Rosie 3, LavieEnrosie 3. And we will be giving away two tickets to the upcoming production of Let's Go to the Movies by the UCC Players to whoever can guess which song in this track list is going to be featuring in the actual show. So keep your ear out. There's just one song. So you'll have to kind of take a guess yourself on which one it is. But yeah, back to our little question. So what kind of draws you to this era?
My goodness, I think I've never not been drawn to it. My love of old Hollywood musicals started when I was just so small, like two or three. And we had a VCR. And I remember my father was insistent that we get a VCR. And we recorded Lily, which was this slightly odd musical with Leslie Caron, probably one of the maybe lesser known ones. And the start of it was missing and everything, you know, we just got like the first 10 minutes was gone. So I had this recorded and it was my only video at the time. And every single day I would come home and say, put on Lily every single day. So I think it was just in me from the beginning. And then I joined the Montfort Stage School. And of course, that really just indulged that love as well. But I think there's nothing like it. I think that it's a very, there was such a high standard visually, you know, in terms of choreography, in terms of the music, the stars that were produced. The talent was just phenomenal. And, you know, when you look back to the great studios like MGM being the champion, they just produced some of the most magical escapism. And I think that's what it really is. And, you know, even after the last couple of years, as you know yourself, the arts have been such a hard hit sector. And I think nothing brings people together like music. Mm-hmm. So this is probably, I think above all, this project is really about being inclusive and getting people back together. Yeah. And we have a really nice mix of people. So we have a cast of 12 and an extra crew. Then with our Brenda Lynch doing the magic behind the scenes with the lighting and sound and all that on the night. So we have a great team now, I have to say, and people have been amazing.
Just on the kind of whole idea of it being kind of closed down during COVID and then coming back, I think that's really special as well, that people are able to see live theatre again. Mm. How did you find that during your own experience with acting and kind of coming back? Was it a different sort of feeling to be performing live again?
I suppose when we first came back, I think, actually, do you know what? Not really. I think when it came back, even when it came back kind of to half capacity, the same enthusiasm was there. And that same, like my favorite sound, I'm terrible for favorites. You ask me my favorite anything, but I do know my favorite sound is the sound of an orchestra warming up and the audience coming in. Hands down, my favorite sound. And that sound was there even at half capacity. We know when we came back and did some shows and, you know, people had their masks on, but, you know, you could still hear the chatter and hear the life. And there was a kind of a certain, I suppose, reservation, I think, among people to kind of get back into audiences. We could see that. So I think I have noticed an extra push for this, for the kind of appetite around this show. I think people are just really ready now to just dive back into it. But, you know, we've been lucky. It was awful, really, to not be able to even go to theatre. Mm-hmm. But we're back with a bang. So
this next song is Marilyn Monroe, and it is Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend. Absolute classic. Enjoy.
The French are glad to die for love. They delight in fighting duels. But I prefer a man who lives and gives expensive jewels. A kiss on the hand may be quite continental, but diamonds are a girl's best friend. A kiss may be grand, but it won't pay the rental on your humble flat or help you at the automat. Men grow cold as girls grow old, and we all lose our charms in the end. But square cut or pear shape, these rocks don't lose their shape. Diamonds are a girl's best friend. Tiffany's, time when a lass needs a lawyer, but diamonds are a girl's best friend. There may come a time when a hard-boiled employer thinks you're awful nice, but get that ice or else no dice. He's your guy when stocks are high, but beware when they start to descend. It's then that those louses go back to their spouses. Diamonds are a girl's best friend. I've heard of affairs that are strictly platonic, but diamonds are a girl's best friend. And I think affairs that you must keep with Sonic are better bets. If little pets get big baguettes, time rolls on and youth is gone, and you can't straighten up when you bend. But stiff back or stiff knees, you stand straight at
best friend from Gentlemen Prefer Blondes. So that was Marilyn Monroe. As we say, we are doing a giveaway for the UCC players. Let's go to the movies. So keep your ears out and keep listening to which song you think will be featuring in our upcoming show. So how did you narrow down the set list? Was it difficult making decisions on that?
It was at the beginning. When I look at my very first draft of songs, it's a bit different to what we ended up with. So there was one or two songs that I had in my head first, but I was really, really open-minded. Plus, again, I find it very hard to choose which ones I'll do. There's just so many great ones. So really what led to final selection was the group. I really, you know, this has been a great opportunity to get to know the group as a whole, but also individually. And I wanted to really see what people could bring to the table. So that's what's actually led the decision of the songs, is what people can do, what people can showcase, you know, so really harnessing the best of people in this, and the individual mix of talents and personalities in the group. And as well as that, some logistics as well came into it about staging and themes and that side of things. So we have a few themes, which I'm happy to.
Yes, please do.
So rather than giving away the actual songs, because I always think there's a nice sense of anticipation if you don't really know what's coming next and you just get that thrill when you hear the first few notes. So they are kind of divided into themes. So, you know, there's been a lot of Hollywood, the great Hollywood musicals. A lot of them are set, you know, in the Wild West, the great outdoors. So that's kind of a theme, the kind of glamorous indoors and the society parties, songs that have been kind of hits in themselves, kind of beyond the movies, that, you know, they've been made famous by individual artists. People might not realize the film that they came from, but they had a role in the storyline. A couple of others as well, which I won't say them because it might be too obvious, but there should be a really nice mix, and hopefully people should learn a bit as well about a little bit about the history of it and that. So we have our compere, Jean Van Sinderen-Law. She's going to be hosting it and giving some information in between the different themes for the upcoming acts, introducing them, telling them a little bit of facts and trivia and that. So
yeah, I think there's kind of a newfound appreciation for musicals recently. Like, there's a lot of like new kind of adaptations of musicals coming to the cinema, like with West Side Story and like a few others, and even just on TV, like I've noticed like a few kind of celebrations of musicals. So I think it's a relevant kind of time to pick up something like this. And as you say, like, some musicals might have a song in the soundtrack and you wouldn't notice, and you'll just recognize it as well. So there's definitely something for everybody. As we say, Levion Rosie 3, if you want to have a chance to win 2 tickets. So the next song we're going to be playing for you today is called Lonesome Polecat, and it is by Bill Lee. Enjoy. was from Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, and it's called Lonesome Polecat, a lovely, gentle one. And there's a nice sense of kind of like a safe masculinity in it, as there is in that kind of era. So with our musical, you said that you kind of started off from a very young age being interested in this genre, and then you later went to the Montforts. How did you realize that like musical theater was something that you wanted to keep on pursuing? And yeah.
I suppose it just, I think when it's in you, it never leaves, you know, it's, I was probably singing them around the house and that. And I love going to theater as much as being in theater. And I think if I absolutely love straight plays as well. And sometimes people who like are really into musical theatre are maybe less inclined to do straight acting and vice versa. I am so in love with both. And I find that there's nothing more satisfying than really getting your teeth into a straight character, mm-hmm. you know, a dark or gritty character or an interesting character or a troubled character or a funny character, whatever it is. But I think when you're just doing that, for me anyway, every now and then a little itch comes up again where I kind of say, I'm missing the music. So I've got it out of my system now for a long time, for a while. But yeah, I just always loved musicals. And my family did. My whole family loves musicals as well. Even my cousins and that. It's just, you know, they're always very supportive in that with this. So yeah, I grew up in a house, I suppose, where there was always, you know, there was always a real love of that era in particular. I think there's nothing like it. I love the modern musicals as well, but I think there really is. It's an unmatched mm-hmm. standard. The ones of the golden era, and so I think it never really leaves when it's in you.
They kind of have like a magical gold dust over them because they're just like protected from that era. And yeah, so if your kind of first love is performing and acting, how did you get into directing, and which do you prefer doing if you have to choose?
So I suppose I got into directing because it's not too many people were jumping at the opportunity to do it, and performing is my first love. So yes, I am performing in this. Try and stop me. that's the thing. We're all kind of getting involved. But I suppose when I hear a piece of music, it always just happens that I can see it. I can see it visualized as well, and I have an inexplicable urge to put it to life, you know, and it's not even a hobby, it's a second job in the evenings and weekends, so it is all consuming when you're at it. So sorry to everyone, I haven't had for tea in a long time. But
you have to have just a sign over our neck saying, I can't, I have rehearsals. Karen makes us do that.
I think I remember seeing a meme before, social life? Oh, you mean rehearsal?
Yeah, like it really is.
Basically it at the moment. So yeah, look, the directing is, it is something I've kind of got into the last few years, and I've kind of done co-directing with my very good friends in the Players, Jim O'Mahony and Brenda Lynch, and we've worked very well together. So with this one, it's kind of, this is really, I suppose, it's kind of my thing. This is where mm-hmm. my real strength is, in terms of I really know it. I really know my stuff, I suppose, because I've been just immersed in it for so long, and it's a pleasure to kind of be able to share that then with everybody. And I'm delighted people are so willing to come on board with it. So I wasn't sure how people would bite when I launched the idea of this, you know, and it wasn't just going to be people might have got not realized how much of a deep end I was going to throw them into, that it wasn't just kind of sing a nice song and off you go and that's you done. No, you're going to be put to work. So I know the cast is used to me now saying, okay, that was great, do it again. That's the nature of this kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah, especially if you have like a clear vision as you do, and like we're able to trust you because we know that you know this area, this is your area. But yeah, I guess this show is kind of like, it's not a musical. We're going to go to a song because we're having a little intercom. Happy graduation day to everybody. Here is I Could Have Danced All Night from My Fair Lady.
I couldn't go to bed. My head's too light to try to set it down. Sleep, sleep, I couldn't sleep tonight. Not for all the jewels in the crown. I could have danced all night. I could have danced all night. And still have begged for more. I could have spread my wings and done a thousand things I've never
have danced all night from My Fair Lady. And remember to give me a DM over on LaVieOnRosie3 on Instagram with your guess of which song from this track list is going to be featuring in Let's Go to the Movies by the UCC Players, directed by Karen Ray, who is who I am here talking to today. So the venue of the show is going to be in the Aula Maxima on UCC. How is that kind of a challenge compared to the regular, say, theatre?
So the good question, this is the Aula Maxima is just a wonderful, beautiful space, as we know. It's every angle is stunning in there. And we've used so far the shows that I've been directly involved in. We've kind of done almost a 360. We did Murder on the Nile at the back of the Aula Maxima, using the balcony as the deck of the boat. Then we used the fireplace for Educating Rita, and now we're using the stage, the main stage, for this. And in previous productions that the Players have done as well, they've kind of used they've used different venues and the main stage as well. So the sound system on the main stage is you know, in place, so it's a bit easier. If you're going around the room, it's a bit more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But for this, I think that the main stage was a worry because even visually it's such a big space and there's so much negative space above the big stage that, you know, for anything that's kind of a small-ish show could get lost in it. So so this is why we have kind of some interventions to try and focus the eye on the stage more. And this is part of kind of doing the aula up like a movie kind of theme. So I won't give too much away on that, but hopefully it'll draw the eye kind of center stage. It's a big venue, but I suppose with things like this, you have to see it as an opportunity rather than and just trying to overcome the challenges and see what you can really push out of it, you know.
Why motion pictures as opposed to stage?
To be a little bit different, I suppose. I think that I always like having parameters when you're doing something creative, because sometimes when you just say I have complete scope, I have mm-hmm. complete range, you can get a bit overwhelmed by the amount of choice. But I think limitations spur on creativity.
Definitely.
So I think by saying, look, just sticking to the golden era, and if we kind of do a cinematic type of thing, we can really pay homage to the individual stars at the time, those wonderful talents, the type of cinematography that was there. And, you know, it's Oscar season. So, you know, it taps into that whole red carpet event type of thing, which is a bit fun. But I just think there was nothing like that era. And it really... It was just a really lovely time, and a lot of the songs as well that are depicted in stage versions are a bit different to how they're interpreted in, say, the movies. So you might have a song in the stage version of a show where it's a filler, whereas in the movie version it might, you know, contribute to the storyline a bit more, or just have a different build up or a different place in the movie. So I think it's always interesting to see that side of things and remind us of how it was depicted there. Because, you know, unless they're on the telly after Christmas dinner, a lot of people don't see these movies
mm-hmm.
Anymore. You know, they might be on, or they might be in the DVD cabinet. Somebody recently gave out to me for owning DVDs in this day and age. But no, I have... a whole range of them at home, so I can dip in and out of them and get inspiration for this. So
that is, I must admit, where I've seen most of this. It's like the Christmas period where they just kind of do the runs. But it's important for your musical knowledge. So the next song we're playing is sung by the wonderful Doris Day. This is the Deadwood Stage.
Oh, the Deadwood Stage is rolling on over the plains, with the curtains flapping and the driver a-slapping the reins. A beautiful sky, a wonderful day. Whip, crack away, whip, crack away, whip, crack away. Oh, the Deadwood Stage is heading on over the hills, where the engine arrows are thicker than porcupine quills. Dangerous land, no time to delay. So whip, crack away, whip, crack away, whip, crack away. We're heading straight for town, loaded down with the fancy cargo, care of Wells and Fargo, Illinois. Boy, oh, the Deadwood Stage is coming on over the crest, like a homing pigeon that's a-hankering after its nest. 23 miles we've covered today. So whip, crack away, whip, crack away, whip, crack away. The wheels go turning round, homeward bound. Can't you hear them humming? We'll be home tonight by the light of the silvery moon. And my heart's a-thumping like a mandolin a-plunking a tune. When I get home, I'm fixing to stay. So whip, crack away, whip, crack away, whip, crack away. Whip, crack away, whip, crack away, whip, crack away. Introducing him. friend of mine. Hi, Joe, say, where'd you get them fancy clothes? I know off some feller's laundry line. Hi, Bo, aren't you the prairie rose? Smell like a watermelon vine. Here's the man the sheriff watches. On his gun there's more than 27 notches. On the draw there's no one faster, and you're flirting with disaster. He's a very good friend of a friend of mine. Oh, the throat's as dry as a desert thistle in May. In the Golden Garter, gonna whip my whistle today. Last of the bars, a three-legged crow. Set him up, Joe, set him up, Joe, set him up, Joe. Set him up, Joe.
Was the Deadwood Stage, and it is from Whip Calamity Jane, which is actually one of the ones that they did in my TY musical in secondary school. We have Karen Ray in here today, and she's the director of Let's Go to the Movies, which will be on 11th to the 13th of April in the All Maxima. You can get your tickets on Eventbrite and in the Visitor Centre, and they're going for €15. Or if you are very lucky today, we are doing a giveaway. For whoever can guess which song on today's set list will be in the music in the show itself. So, tell me about whether this show has been kind of like a distraction or kind of like a challenge, like for your own life. Like, is it kind of a full time job in itself, or is it kind of like a nice hobby?
It is a big task, I won't lie. But what I always find about theatre, especially musical theatre, is it's energising. Mm-hmm. So I find that I don't get really very tired when I do this kind of stuff. And I think it kind of makes you more efficient even with the day job, because you kind of say, look, I know I'm going to be doing this in the evening or at weekends. So you have to get your stuff done. And it's a little complicated sometimes if, say, you know, some people might be available 9 to 5 and you need to make phone calls to carpenters or to electricians or that. But people have been extremely flexible and kind. I have to say the UCC community, I could be meeting so many challenges and problems, but people just seem to smooth the journey for me a bit with this. You know, nothing's ever a problem really when I ask things, and some very, very wacky requests sometimes with these things. But so I have to say that really does help when I don't have to put too much effort into those kind of requests. Mm-hmm. But it's not like, you know, a hobby that you can tidy away into a box and put it behind the couch. You know, it's a messy hobby. You know, at the moment my house is just full of bags of costumes, yeah, and stuff and everything. So it is busy, but as I say, it's energizing, yeah. I have to say so.
I remember myself, like, going into college, and I was kind of speaking to you about whether or not I should like sign up for all these musicals and like if I would have time for it and like the work-life balance. And I think you told me that in your final year you were involved in, was it High School Musical?
My very proud moment, yes.
And
I was doing my master's at the time. So yeah.
So it does actually kind of like energize, and it kind of gives you like motivation and the life to do your other things. And I think some people, I think probably me and you, are kind of people who the more that you do, the more you can do. It kind of benefits your different aspects of life.
Yeah, I mean, I know some people look at me and say, oh, you're crazy, what about taking these things on, you know. But look, I think because I'd be invested in anything I do, you know, whether it's my day job or this, you could get very easily consumed by either, you know. So it's good to have to force yourself to switch off from one and go to another, because it keeps you interested in both then as well. And especially with musical theatre, and the cast and yourself will know this, you know, it's quite physical as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you get exercise, you're moving around a lot. It's and I think the sense of community, you know, as corny as it sounds, it's a really big part of it. And it really brings people together. And I think that's a real buzz in itself as well, you know.
As you say, it's like a physically... It's a physical thing as well with musical theatre. And I think that's one thing that kind of is different about the old style musicals compared to the newer ones, is that when I was watching, it was on the other day, it was kind of like a celebration of all different musicals. It was on ITV, I think. And the newer ones, like, say, Six and Wicked and Newsies and stuff, they're very kind of like lay it all out on the stage and very kind of like... big physical gestures. But with the older style ones, it's kind of like a kinetic energy where it's kind of like it's like energetically charged but not releasing it all. So I think there's something kind of special about that kind of like waiting to be released kind of energy. Mm. And it's almost more exhausting.
Yeah, for sure. And I think when like, so we have our full tech and dress rehearsal now, this day, 2 weeks. So Easter Monday won't be a rest for our gang, but I think once people as well, there's something about putting on your costume, you know.
Definitely.
I think everyone would agree, magic that just happens. You know, you stand different, you walk different, mm-hmm. you talk different, you sing different when you're wearing a, you know, a fancy gown or whatever it is, or you know, a character outfit, or holding a particular prop or something. It just brings it to life. So. And of course, a live audience as well is an exhilaration in itself, you know. And I think applause is a drug, as we all know. I think any thespians will say that. So
it's really nice as well. This production, I'm doing it with my dad. So shout out to David O'Byrne. But I just noticed the other day, because he wasn't like originally like always involved with like musical theatre. This is his first time singing, in public. But I just noticed when he had one of the costumes on, I won't give away what. But I just kind of saw a different side. He looked very like, I don't know, like a different side, like a character came out. And I think it's really nice to see that when people are in a costume, it's almost like permission to channel a certain side of themselves and to have fun with it. And I think there's so much scope for just, you know, so much fun with all these costumes.
That's the thing. I was really, I think, touched by how much people who wouldn't have done this kind of stuff before and who, you know, could have said, ah, look, it's not my thing.
Yeah.
Just embraced it, and not just embraced it, but like really, really went for it. And, you know, so I found that really, really nice. And it was real encouragement for me as well, you know. So I haven't had to like drag anyone onto the stage, or, you know, so it's great. And I think with, by doing the movie side of things, you know, you can, like some of these movies have never been made into a theatre, Broadway, West End production. So that's why we have something maybe a little bit different. Like some of them will be, and a lot of them will be familiar from both stage and screen. But we're paying particular homage to the screen interpretations mm-hmm. of them and the stars that led them. But there's also, you know, a couple of numbers in there that are not from any stage musical, but they exist on the screen, and the screen alone mainly. So that's what makes it a little bit different. And I think that kind of allows people then to have something to work with. That's you know, it could be an understated little scene, and or a big number, but it's not like real intensive choreography all the time. If it's just, so, that's again working with what people mm-hmm. are kind of comfortable with as well. And I've really seen people, you know, come out of their maybe non-musical shells with this, which is great to see.
So now we have "Singing in the Rain" by Gene Kelly.
I'm singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. What a glorious feeling, I'm happy again. I'm laughing at clouds so dark up above. The sun's in my heart and I'm ready for love. Let the stormy clouds chase everyone from the place. Come on with the rain, I've a smile on my face. I'll walk down the lane with a happy refrain, just singing, singing in the rain. Dancing in the rain. I'm happy again. I'm singing and dancing in.
Singing in the Rain by Gene Kelly. So for our upcoming production, we have Let's Go to the Movies, and it's a UCC Players production directed by Karen Ray. And who's going to be involved? Who can we expect to see in this?
So we have a really lovely mix and quite a nice number of people involved in this. So we have... Jean Van Sinderen-Law, who's going to compare it and also perform in some of the numbers. But the full cast includes, we have in alphabetical order, so not giving anything away about who's coming on when. Adriana Dineen, we have Reuben Keane, our newest member, Deirdre Kearney, Burr Madden, David O'Byrne, Rosie O'Byrne, Mike O'Keefe, Jim O'Mahony, Tricia O'Regan, myself, Mark Rowlands, and Jean, who I mentioned. So a great cast. And then we have Brenda Lynch helping with the crew side of things. So
amazing. So we have a lovely mix of people and a lot of different personalities as well. Was there a challenge with kind of getting everyone on board, or was it smooth sailing?
That was one of the things when I wasn't sure how people would bite with this, you know, but people embraced it straight away, so it wasn't a challenge to get people, and people have been just willing to let me boss them around with this stuff. And have been really, really good natured about it, so it's I know these rehearsals can be long and tiring, and you know, you can have your dips in that, but for the most part, it's a real joy, and I think it's safe to say people are enjoying
definitely.
It.
Definitely, and even you go away with the song stuck in your head. I think in our house anyway, I can say that we have a newfound appreciation for these musicals, and I know Dad has these songs like on repeat in his own time now as well. So that is Let's Go to the Movies. Whoever can guess which song from our playlist today is going to be featuring in the show will be winning two tickets to go to see it in the Olamaxima for the opening night, which is the Tuesday, the 11th of April. And you can go message me over on Livy on Rosie 3 for your guess. So thank you so much, Karen, for coming in
today. Thank you, Rosie. It was lovely to speak to you with us about all this. So brilliant. Great to have the plug.
Why should people go to see Let's Go to the Movies?
Why not come to see Let's Go to the Movies? You'll feel 10 times better after doing it. And Yeah, there's nothing, no more powerful remedy for anything.
There's no business like show business.
Oh, I should have said that one. Exactly.
And what a better note to finish off on. Here is There's No Business Like Show Business from Annie Get Your Gun. Enjoy. Thank you.
The tumblers, the clowns, the roustabouts that move the show.